This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, thank you that we can come to you this morning and know that you are here with us. You are not far and distant, but closer than we think. And you are mindful of us. Lord, I pray that we will be mindful of you, that we may know you the way you know us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for those who brought the words. I just want to encourage you, if you believe the Lord has laid a word in your heart, it's always so encouraging also to me just to see what the Lord is saying, and oftentimes just confirming the word of the morning. And this morning I want to share around what has been prophesied this morning. It's just God is saying, I'm with you. We've been sharing around John chapter 1, just concerning the word of God, the mystery of the Trinity and God's purpose for us, where we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him is life, and that life is the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. We shared a lot about those things. Then this morning, I want to share verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Very powerful. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, if we read the first portion of Scripture, it speaks of the mystery, the majesty, the power of God, creating all things through His Word. And sometimes, you know, it's difficult for us as man to really comprehend something that is so great, so powerful as God. And it's sometimes a good exercise just from time to time just to meditate on who is God. Now, we speak so often of God, but I think we seldom meditate upon it. I think one of the reasons man's blasphemy and using God's name in vain is because we are not meditating on who He is. I think if we do, we would be more cautious. But God is holy. It's a very powerful word. And part of that meaning of that word is being different. God is different to us. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's eternal. It's a very old word that has become popular again. He's awesome. It actually, the word actually originated from describing God. He is awesome. And in His greatness, and in being so different to us, there is a separation. There's a natural separation between who we are and God is. We cannot even fathom and understand His greatness. And so there's a natural distance between man and God. I mean, He created the universe through the power of His Word. He holds the universe in the span of His hand, and He sustains it. I mean, God is not like man. We can't even understand. We can't even see the end of the universe. God sustains it. And somewhere in this universe that that God holds and sustains. Somewhere there's a little speck called the earth. And God's heart, His focus and His love is right there in the midst of the universe, a little insignificant place. God's heart and focus is there. As distant and great God is, yet He is mindful of man, who are in this little insignificant speck. God is mindful of man. We read here in Psalm 8 from verse 3, "When I look to your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him." This is a man who meditates on the greatness of God. And I struck by this reality that God is mindful of us despite His greatness. Sometimes I ask myself, who is this God? And then I answer myself and it cannot but lead to worship. When you start asking yourself, who is this God? And you start to answer yourself in His greatness, His majesty, His power, you cannot but worship God. You cannot but fall on your knees and praise Him for His greatness, that He is mindful of us. Not only is He mindful of man, but amongst the billions of people alive today, He is mindful of you. He knows you. And He loves you. I mean, amongst the billions of people that was before you and the billions that will be after you, God is mindful of you. He not only knows about you. Oh, He knows about you from the day that you were formed in your mother's womb. He was there. You are not a mistake. You're not a product of chance. No, God is mindful of you. He knows you better than your mother. He knows you before your mother did. And He loves you. Who is this God that He is mindful of me? And it's not just that He knows about you. He knows everything about you. Luke 12, it says, "Not even 5 sparrows are sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Why? Even the hairs on your head are all numbered." God knows everything about you. So fear not. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before me, you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. If you meditate upon these things, you cannot but worship God. Right from the start of creation, God's desire was to be with us. He walked with man in the garden. His sin separated us. But God's desire has not changed. When he called his people Israel out of Egypt, and he sent Moses to the Pharaoh, he said, "Let my people go so that they can feast with me." We read of that in Exodus 5. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, "Let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." It's amazing, as God dealt with his people, he did not just lead them by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. I mean, God was not just involved and mindful and directing them. On this way, on this journey to this place that he prepared for them of milk and honey, where the cup was not half empty but overflow. On the way to the destination that God has prepared for, he was mindful and preparing. On the way there, he instructed Moses, "I want you to build a tent, a tabernacle, and I want you to put it in the middle of the camp so that I can be there. I want to be with my people." This is God. And then when Israel reached the promised land, the provision God has made and established a kingdom and a city, a capital, God says, "I want to be there in their capital. Build me a temple. I want to be amongst my people." And then ultimately, God became flesh. And he dwelt amongst us. Because I want to be with my people. Read here in Matthew chapter 1, "And behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God has a desire to be with his people. God has a desire to be with us, close to us, much closer than you think. As amazing as it's been to have Jesus on the earth, in the flesh, walking in Jerusalem, Jesus said to his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." I mean, my person here physically in Jerusalem is not the ultimate. There is something better than me with you. There's something better. It's me in you. So therefore, I need to go away. And so we read in John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." You see, God's desire is not just to be with his people, to be close to them, but even more, he wants to be in us. 1 Corinthians says it of the Spirit that came to fill us. As powerful as the incarnation was, what is even greater is the Spirit now living within us. the presence of God, the mystery of the Trinity, God in us. Here in Corinthians 3 verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is the great promise of the Holy Spirit that will come. To be poured out on all flesh, on your maid servants and your male servants, your old man and your young man. Prophecy in Joel that was fulfilled on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Not just to be amongst us, but to be in us. Sin separated us from God. So God sent Christ into the world to deal with our sin. But it was only a means to an end. Jesus coming to the earth was only a means to the end. It was to cleanse the temple that was defiled. It was to cleanse the temple so that the Spirit of God, the presence of God, can fill this temple, you and me. Because God has a desire to be with you. I have discovered this presence of God, and at times it is so close and real, and other times it feels distant. Yet every time I approach God, it returns to me. It's the presence of God. I'm not special. I'm no different than you. You can have the same. I found that it is not God that is distant at times, but myself, my heart and my mind that are occupied with other stuff. But I have seldom approached God, seeking Him diligently, that I did not experience His presence. Oh, you know what? And it's great to come together at church. It's great to come together. And I had amazing experiences with God in church. Amazing experiences in worship, corporate worship. Amazing experiences in sermons and ministry times. But my most significant times in life was when I encountered God all on my own. With no music, no people, no distraction, just me and God. It's almost sad for me to see how people come to church Sunday after Sunday for an experience, a corporate experience. And please, come to church for that. But there's something more than experiencing God on a Sunday. You can experience Him every day. Because He is not distant. He does not dwell in this building. If we would only believe and seek Him, you can be as close to God as anyone in this book. Because God is not a respecter of persons. You can be as close to God as anyone in this book. If you just want to. It's not a philosophy. It's not a slogan. It's not a church movement. God is real. And He has a desire to be with us. He has a desire to be with you. I found it's not God that is distant, but myself. My heart and my mind are occupied with other stuff, or sometimes my own disbelief, unbelief. If only you would believe. One of the saddest scriptures in that first chapter of John is found in verse 10. John chapter 1 verse 10. The Word that made the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. It's like sitting in a coffee shop. I don't know if you've seen that before. People sit in the coffee shop. You know, I go to a coffee shop to spend time with my wife. But I've been in coffee shops where you see people, they sit opposite one another with... I don't know if you've been in a conversation like that where you with someone, but they're on this and you are not. I'm sure if you're on it also, you don't notice. But if you're not on it and they are on it, you notice the difference. Like, you are there. And they are just so busy. I sometimes wonder, I'm sometimes tempted to ask one of those, so who are you here with? Those on Facebook? Or the person opposite you? Or is he just a stranger that is looking for a seat? And sometimes I fear we're like this with God. We are so occupied. After hours on Facebook, we tweet, I feel distant from God. And he's right there. Verse 10 continue, but as many as receive him, he came to his own and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Oh, there's something about being in his presence. You don't need music. It helps. Worship music helps. But you don't need that. You only need to believe. It helps to be in a quiet place where you're not distracted by all the things around you. But if you would take, if you would believe and make the effort to put the phone down and go somewhere quiet, like you would take your wife or your girlfriend on a date. And the reason men spend money to go to restaurants, especially before they're married, is not for the food. It is to be with that lady. And we think, and we think, what is the best place that can facilitate a connection? Because I want to connect with this girl. I want to know her. I want her to know me. I want to win her. Well, we've been created in the image and likeness of God, who is love. One of my most special times of being in God's presence, when I'm all alone, away from everything and all the distraction, somewhere in nature that declares his glory and his majesty. And just seek him. Don't come to church. Oh, please come to church. But my heart is that you will grow to a place where this is not just where you encounter him. I'm saddened to see how many people come to church to be in God's presence. And it's true, but it's like that's the only vehicle. And then we have transgressed from God's presence to angel feathers and gold dust and all kinds of other stuff. And I'm thinking, what are we doing? Isn't Jesus enough? Or have you not yet discovered him? And I know there is so much more. But you can know him yourself. You don't need to go to the prophet in Africa or to the church in America to experience God. If you only believe and have a desire and make some time and pursue him, it's much cheaper than to fly to America. Just go to the beach. We are so privileged. Go up in the mountain. I remember when I was a student and I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, before I was baptized, I knew there was something more. I was so hungry for God. I knew there was something more, and I came from a conservative church, the Dutch Reformed Church. I love the Dutch Reformed Church. I got saved there. I got my love for the Word there. I learned to worship God. Ek is baie lief vir daai gesange en psalms. But there was something more I was looking for, and then I read a book about a dominie, Andrew Murray. He wrote a book on the Holy Spirit and his encounter with the Holy Spirit and how it changed his life. I was skeptical about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and everything that he saw, but how he got filled with the Holy Spirit and it changed his life. And I remember reading that book as a student. I just got past the first chapter. And I closed the book and I said, God, if it's good enough for Andrew Murray, I want it too. And I remember at 3 a.m, God woke me up. I wasn't in a church. There wasn't music playing. There wasn't worship music playing. God woke me up 3 a.m. and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing encounter. It's not that I could speak in tongues or anything. And then I started to search for more. And then I responded to an altar call for being filled with the Holy Spirit. That side, those who want to speak in tongues, that side. And I went to that side and they prayed for me and I started to speak in the tongue. Amazing experience. And I remember as a young student, I used to go in the mornings, early in the mornings. I would leave my dorm, and I had my special spot. There was at Elsenburg. There's this little voer wat so tussen die wingerdbome loop. I used to sit there, all alone, away from all the distractions, and I would just pray in the Spirit. That's all I would do. I would just pray in the Spirit until I could experience God's presence. And then I would start to pray with my understanding. It's an amazing experience. It's just a hunger. And I've realized the more I grew in my understanding and relationship with God, the more I experienced him. The more frequent it became. The more easier it was. It's in this place that I experienced his love, his peace, and above all, I hear his voice. I've never been alone ever since. I have never felt alone ever since. It's just my story. Because I could always go to that secret place. And the Bible was not the same anymore. It became alive. It started to speak to me. I started to understand things I never could understand. And sometimes I was almost afraid to understand what I'm understanding, and I would check in concordances and you know, commentaries. And we say, wow, they also see the same thing. This must be God. You can have the same. But the thing that I experienced mostly was His closeness. I was not afraid anymore. I do not stress about tomorrow any longer. And I'm not afraid to die. I deal with people from time to time on their deathbed. And I've seen the difference between those who know His presence and those who don't. I'm not afraid to die, people, because I know where I'm going. And it might sound weird to you, but I'm not afraid of what will happen to my kids and my wife either, because they have access to the same God. I cannot provide for them after I'm dead, but He can. So I'm not even afraid of that, and I'm not saying I don't have a pension, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you know His presence, you will not be afraid. You won't even be afraid of death, because that is the ultimate. Then I'm where He is, where it is perfect. And if you're young and old, I want to encourage you to make my life easier. Prepare yourself for that day now, while you're still healthy and strong. Don't wait until you're sick and old. Why not prepare yourself now to go and meet with Him? Why not come into His presence and have that assurance that He loves you, that He knows you, and that you know Him? Why wait? The other thing that I experience, not only am I not afraid and I don't stress and I'm not afraid to die, I love life. One of the things that changed in my life since I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit is I love life. I love even the challenges and the difficult things in life, because in it I see God's faithfulness over and again. Why it's significant to me is because I suffered of depression and I was suicidal. And God changed my life. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy and great confidence. If you discover that, I will have less work to do. I'm trying to preach myself out of a job here. You won't come to church anymore. You won't see counseling. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm no different than you. I'm no different. God is real and He has a desire to be with us. I have these things in my life because, not because I'm special, but because I experience something. As a matter of fact, I experience someone. And I do it often. Before circumstances, life, and my emotion can get the best of me, I can go to the secret place. Ach, if it's really difficult, I'll tell my wife, look, I'm going to go sleep in the mountain. Then I just go away for a day. Sometimes it's not really difficult, it's just nice to do that. Just not to be distracted by anything and just be in God's presence. You can do it too. The Holy Spirit changed my life, and oh, I know there is so much more that I do not know yet and that I haven't discovered yet. There's so much more that God has for me and for us. But it all starts with these simple steps. And when I looked back in my own life, I found it all over Scripture. And I'm just going to read one and I'm going to end with that. These steps to get to God's presence. Interesting, when the disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit, they were changed. They were afraid, hiding away in an upper room, doors locked. And then they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and they came out publicly, speaking boldly in languages they didn't even know. And then those Jews that saw them, heard them, came to them. And Peter stood up and he gave that first sermon. And he started off with this prophecy in Joel, that this what you see is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that Joel prophesied. In those days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then he gave a powerful short sermon. And then their response to this. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all that are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." So here are the three steps. You need to repent. You need to turn away from the world and all the distractions in it. To come into God's presence, turn away from the world, put off the phone, the TV, all the distractions. Turn away from, that's what repent means. It literally means to turn away. So the first step is just to turn away from all the distraction. The second is baptism. If you're not gone through that yet, and even if you had, the principle behind baptism is simply this: it's a commitment, it's a decision, it's an all or nothing commitment. And it's not the nothing bit, it's the all bit. That's what makes baptism so powerful, because before heaven and hell, man and witness, you make a decision that I want God more than anything else. If you want to come into his presence, step away from the distraction and seek him with everything. And then respond to him. The third one, respond. If we open up to God in faith, he responds. It's so simple. Step away from the distraction. Seek him, desire him, and believe in him. Respond to him. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, but those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if you do, that's all I do. I just turn away from the distractions and I seek God with all my heart and I seek him until I find him. Oh, and if it doesn't happen the first day, I come back the second. And then the third. But it never takes that long, honestly. But even if it does, just seek him diligently. That's part of faith. When it doesn't happen the first time, we give up. Say, see, I've tried it, it doesn't work. Well, that's not diligently seeking him. Diligently seeking him is like what Jesus said, those who seek will find. In Greek, it's present continuous. Those who are seeking and continue to seek will find. Those who are knocking and continue to knock, it will be opened. He is closer than you think. We just need to believe and respond to him. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. You have to believe like a little child. That's what it is. You have to desire him more than anything else. And then you need to respond to him. And when fear and circumstances or depression comes, believe God's word. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, depressed, worried, stressed, disheartened. For the Lord your God is with you." Wherever you go. Wherever you go. There is nothing more precious than being in his presence. Let us pray. And we can sing that last song. It was so powerful. Make me aware of your presence and the glory of your goodness. What a powerful song. Father, we thank you that we know, we believe that you love us. And your word declares that you have a desire to be with us in our midst. But not just here today in our midst. You want to be in me, in us, individually, every day, every moment you are with us. You have a desire to have a relationship that continues Monday to Sunday. You have so much you want to share with us as individuals, not just corporately. If we would only believe, if we would only choose to step away from all the things that distract us and pursue you, look you in the eye and put down the phone and ask you. Have faith like a child in our approach to you and seek you until we hear you, until you speak to us, until you reveal yourself. God, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will not be satisfied with anything less than your presence. Just raw Jesus, Spirit, Father. Well, there's an old song. I'm not even going to try and sing it, but it goes, "Just give me Jesus." Can leave the rest. Just give me Jesus. Oh God, I pray that each and every one of us here, Lord, would take this invitation, this reality, the Spirit that you have poured out to be within us, Lord, that we will seek your face until we find you. That we may grow in the confidence of your love and your presence and your faithfulness. Your peace may rule in our hearts and minds as we have not just found peace, but we have found the God of peace. God, I pray that you will fill us all. And if you are here this morning and you are hungry, maybe you've never responded or maybe you don't experience the Holy Spirit. You want to be empowered by the Spirit. You want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand where you're at. Is there anybody like that? Anyone? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you've never been in a church that prayed for that before. If that is you, we're going to be here at the end and we'd love to pray with you. But I want us just to respond where we're seated, just where you're at, just in your own heart, just respond to God's invitation to be with you. He's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. He's knocking. So let's just take a moment and just respond to him as the band leads us in a song.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.